Now let me read for you our reading for today as we go into God's Word. Today our reading is Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he, Jesus, said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And may God add his blessing to the reading of that word. I would like to say at the outset that this is the most generous congregation that I've ever been associated with, okay? And so I want to say that at the outset. So this doesn't have any specific meaning for any type of lack that I'm seeing in you, all right? And so this particular time, and as we're marching through Luke, what I was having trouble with this week, I was laying out my outline, like I do, to share with you, and all of a sudden it was just like, there's something missing here. There's something missing in what I'm doing. And so the Lord didn't really deliver that until about 5 o'clock this morning. And so that's what I penciled in over here. Okay, just to show you that. One of the things that I think we miss when we read this story and the Bibles that you have, whether it's the NIV, ESV, others, a lot of them label this the parable of the rich fool. Context is king for all of you Bible scholars. And so what is the context of this parable that Jesus gives? If you go back earlier in this chapter, we talked about the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And we talked about how Jesus was speaking to a crowd that was so large they were just walking all over themselves. And he tells his disciples first about to beware of this leaven of the Pharisees, to being hypocritical, which means that you are putting on a show for others on the outside, but you're doing nothing to prepare the inside. All right, keep that in mind. You're doing nothing to prepare the inside, but everything for the outside. Everything that interacts with this life in which you are engaged, you are fully engaged. But what matters most to the life that you will go into after this one is neglected. Then he talks about having no fear about those that can kill the body, being prepared for your death. He goes into that. "But I will warn you whom to fear," he says. "Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast you into hell." So there's a clear warning there about being prepared for the day that will come to all of us. Then he goes into about acknowledging the Son of Man, and everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people have struggled with that. You know, like, what is the one unforgivable sin? Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means a neglect of the things that are being given to you by God's Spirit. The testimony, the witness of God's Spirit, which comes through the Word that is delivered, which comes through the urgings of God within us to repent of our sins and to become men and women of God that He wants us to become. And so there's a clear theme that's developing through here about some very weighty things that Jesus is speaking to this multitude about. And He wants them to be aware that there are preparations that need to be made for a time that will come to all. And that we all need to be more concerned about those preparations. Now, I don't know what all of you think about whenever we have our Sunday mornings here, and I'm up here like I am now, and I'm talking to you. I really don't want to know where your minds go when when I'm up here delivering this message. But having sat in a congregation for a period of time, I know that our minds can wander. And where do they wander to? They wander to those things that we are concerned about here on this earth. They wander to those things that are directly affecting my life right now. And back in Jesus' day, it was no different. Here is Jesus delivering a very weighty sermon, reminding those listening to Him that your day of death is coming. Don't waste the time that you have on earth neglecting preparations for the day that matters most in your life. And then here's that guy that calls to him from the crowd. You know that guy? You know, none of us want to be that guy, right? Here's that guy that calls to him from the crowd, "Teacher," or "Rabbi, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And so where was this guy's mind? Here's Jesus delivering this profound gospel message of being ready to prepare yourself, to focus on the inside and not just shine up the outside. And here's this guy, all he's thinking about is that my greedy, whatever, stars, asterisk, exclamation point, brother is holding my inheritance from me. And so he's not hearing anything that Jesus is preaching on because he's so consumed with what's going on in his life right now. And when Jesus hears that being shouted out from the crowd, and there may have been others, but this is the one recorded. When Jesus hears that being shouted out from the crowd, it's like, here's a teaching moment. First, he asks him, you know, it's not my business to be your judge, so just take that somewhere else. But then he tells the crowd, them, take care and be on guard against all, and that's the key here, all kinds, quoted parentheses, all kinds of covetousness or all kinds of greed. And then he says, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then he goes to tell the story of a farmer, a rich farmer, and it says that his land produced bountifully. Now, any of you who have ever farmed knows that that is a profession of faith. That you literally put your life in the hands of God to deliver to you the rain and the sunshine in the exact amount that's needed to produce the harvest. Now you do your part too. You plant the seeds, you apply the fertilizer, you do whatever plowing is necessary. But you really have no other control. If it doesn't rain, you won't produce. You will lose money. And so Jesus is careful to start off this parable by saying he was rich. So he wasn't needy. He was a rich guy to begin with. And all of a sudden his ground just produced bountifully, or it may have been his ground produced, and he just had a good place. You know, that good rich bottom land that people used to always want. You know, that nice rich black soil that just will make things grow. And so it produced bountifully. And his first thought was, I'm going to have too much to put in my barn, so what am I going to do with it? Well, I'm just going to tear down the barns that I have. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to put all this grain in it. And then I'm just going to be satisfied then. He's planning his retirement. What is he doing? He's focusing on his life. He's doing exactly what Jesus has been preaching about in these previous texts here in this same chapter, warning people not to be so focused on this life that you forget the weightier matters of preparation for where you will be one day. Because this time, folks, is all that you have. From the day that you're born to the day that you die, and life is teaching us that it doesn't guarantee that we'll all be elderly when we pass away. Life does not guarantee us that we will all die peacefully, sitting in our recliner, watching our favorite football team win a national championship, and then God takes us to heaven. We're not all guaranteed that. I told somebody the other day, don't forget who it was, but I had this one lady, she was a Sunday school teacher for me in the church in which I grew up, and she passed away one night. The people found her the next day. She was just sitting in her recliner like she was asleep. And they said she had the most peaceful smile on her face that you had ever seen. You know, if you got to go, there's no better way, right? And I've always thought about that. But we're not guaranteed that. She was elderly. We're not guaranteed that. This is the time that you have. Jesus was adamantly talking to this crowd because his time too was growing short. You know, he set his nose toward Jerusalem now because he knows what lies ahead of him. His time in this world to verbally teach those who come to him is also growing short. And he's driving home the point, this is the time to prepare. But what people have a tendency to do is focus so intently on what's right before them. And it's a natural human response because that's what's affecting us, right? Is this stuff just right before eyes? And Jesus said that there are weightier matters there that need to be prepared for. And this man, all he could see was the abundance and the blessings that were not due to his diligence, only due to his diligence and hard work. There was a blessing there that God had given to him, and that it said the land had produced bountifully. Folks, we can get so carried away and be consumed with the blessings that God gives us that those same blessings, by following and being so consumed with them in our lives, those same blessings that God gives to us through love and grace don't take us closer to Him, but carry us further away from Him. That's the blessings of our households, our families, our jobs, you name it, you fill in the blank. One of the things that we need to see as part of heart preparation is that we need to see that all that we have belongs to God. And that is my thought for you for today, is that the question that I would like for you to contemplate this coming week, does God own all of me? Simple, sweet, and short. Does God own all of me? The question was before this rich man. But he focused on what he received And his sole preparation was on material things. What was he going to do? I'm going to have my barn full. I'm going to have this material wealth in this barn, and I'm going to draw on that material wealth whenever I need it. It's going to be my crutch. It's going to be my savior. It's going to be my everything. And that's my focus in life. And I'm content in that. And I'm resting in my wealth that is in my barns. And I'm just going to continue to increase that wealth. And I'm going to look forward to that retirement. And I'm just going to do everything that I want to do to give myself pleasure because of all of this stuff that I have here. Scripture is very careful to call greed idolatry. Colossians 3. Greed is idolatry. We are cautioned to stay away from it. But this man's, the intent of this parable wasn't just to point out greed. It was to point out a lack of interest, a lack of concern of what really mattered in this man's life. What was most important in this man's life? He set it on material things. And by his own statement, there was no intention of him developing the inner man. Like we talked about last week. That's the steps of the hypocrite. Those who are focused so much on the world in which we live and our interactions with it that we fail to develop the inner man or inner woman. And our lack of preparation of the inner man, as I said last week, if you're not continually working on the inner man, the outer man will not stand. If you are not taking the time this day to turn that inner man over to Christ in faith, and all the words of all the preachers can be ignored, all the words of all that you read in Scripture can be ignored, we can sleep through them, we can hold our heads down, we can daydream, we can focus on 9 million different things during this time when God's Word is being shared and at other times in our lives when we hear it. And the warning of Jesus is just as valid today as it was then. They did not see Jesus as being the Son of God. Now, we have revelation that they didn't at that particular time. But Jesus was preaching God's truth. And as I said before, it's not me that you respect. It's this, what happens at this pulpit is the delivery of God's Word. And because God's Word is being delivered from it, that garners their respect. And so when we assemble to hear God's Word, when we assemble to have God's Word taught and interact with it in our Sunday schools and during our Wednesday nights and at other times in our church and our Bible studies and the times that we get together to talk about God's Word, Jesus is saying those are the most important times that you can have in your life because they prepare you for what comes next. This man thought that he was prepared fully and completely for what was coming next in his life. He was looking forward to a time of sitting back and resting on his laurels, resting on everything that he had accumulated, not acknowledging that what he had accumulated was from the hand of God. And so he was allowing his own selfishness, he was allowing himself to be taken to a place by what his eyes showed him. And that place didn't have room for God in it because it was so full of all that he saw before him and all that he was going to use to rest on. In no way is this parable teaching against the accumulation of wealth. The kingdom of God needs wealth if it's going to function. The kingdom of God needs those who have been blessed in so many different ways with giftings of wealth and possessions that can be shared and used by God in various ways, so many different ways in His kingdom. So this is not preaching against the accumulation of wealth. It's not preaching against the preparation that we all have for our retirements. There's nothing in this that's preaching against that. We should prepare for our futures as if we're going to live forever. Remember, Jesus told the parable too about the servants that were given some given different talents. And the one that was only given one talent, he went and buried it somewhere. And he was chastised for not investing it and making it grow. And so we are encouraged. In other scripture, we're told, you know, Paul writes in some of his letters that if a man won't work and support his family, then he's not going to eat. He shouldn't eat if he's not willing to go out and work. And so none of this is discouraging work, providing for your family, accumulating wealth, providing for your futures. None of this is. But we are to prepare for our eternities because we will live forever. And according to Scripture, you've got two choices there. And you know what they are. And then we are to prepare for our futures. Prepare for today because it might be all that we have. And that's the end of this rich man. He thought he had his future all laid out and he was going to rest on everything that he had accumulated. And God, according to the parable, was the furthest thing from this man's mind. His eternal future, his eternal destiny was the furthest thing from this man's mind. All he saw was the pleasures he was going to enjoy because he had accumulated enough that I'm set for life. And that's all he thought about was this earthly life. There was no preparation there for his tomorrow. There was no preparation there, and tomorrow by that I mean his eternity. And he didn't get to enjoy what he had laid out and what he thought he was going to have. And God calls him a fool. Why was he a fool? Because he neglected the internal to focus exclusively on the external. And so folks, the warning for us today from this parable that I believe in my heart is that same warning of not neglecting the inner person to focus exclusively on the outer person. The stuff of the world, the future that we want to have planned out. There is a place for all of those things. And none of those things are discouraged by the meaning of this parable. What is encouraged is, this is all the time that you have. And none of that time is guaranteed. The only thing that you have is right now. And so where your tomorrow may be, your eternity may be, is based upon the time and what you do with it in the now, in the today. And those are the things that I believe God wants this congregation to take away from this parable. That the inner man needs to be shined and polished and tended to and nourished. Because one day that's all you're going to have when you stand before God. Jesus asked this man the question, who's going to get it now? All of this stuff that you thought was going to carry you through, all of this stuff that was going to give you so much pleasure, all of this stuff that was so important to you that you neglected what really mattered. And now who's going to have it? As I said, there are no U-Hauls in funeral processions. And so all of the things that we worry about, all of the things that consume us, all of the things that distract us when we are in our worship services, all of the things that eat at us and chew at us and keep us from polishing the inner man and just take us to places further away from God when God is saying, I've blessed you so. Can't you see my hand at work in your life, giving you good jobs, giving you the health for that job, giving you the health of your families, the ability to provide for your families, giving you the intellect that you need, the giftedness to your job, the ability to perform in that job. All of these things comes from the hand of God. And we allow those blessings to consume us to the point that we forget what's the most important. And that is the heart, the soul that cries out for Christ to make Him Savior and Lord in our life. So that one day we can hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Let me pray for you. Father, this day we thank you for all that you give to us, given to us. We thank you that by your hand comes life itself. As this parable reminds us, Father, his soul was required of him that night. And so even our lives belong to you. All that we have, may that question that was asked earlier be on our hearts this week as we go about the busyness of our lives. Do all that we have belong to you? Do you own all of me? Father, make that known to us that we might can be the men and women that you would have us to be, that glorifies you, that sees the importance of strengthening the inner person so that our outer person will stand in the day of testing. Make this our desire and our prayer in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.